Good morning, everyone. It is good to see you on the week before Christmas. We've been talking about having peace. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how to have peace when situations and things happen, and how to come back to peace from there. Last week, we were talking about just how sometimes we lose our peace when we have to wait on things, and how to handle that. Today, I kind of want to just talk about one more part of peace, and it's one that I think I've struggled with this year. It's how do you have peace when things don't work out like you want them to? Has anybody had a year like that? Where in January you kind of thought, this is what this year is going to be like. This is what's going to happen this year. This is what's going to be accomplished. And, like me, you look back on this year and go, well, that's not another one I want to go through again. How do you have peace when you're disappointed with God? So let's talk about that this morning. I did a youth service a couple of weeks ago, and I talked about it last week, about this verse in Matthew 7:7-8, where God is talking about how to approach Him with things that you want and things that you desire in your prayer life. That verse says, ask and you will receive. And then last week we talked about that second part of it, search and you will find. And when you just stop and think about searching and how that really means struggle with it some and you'll find it. Wait on it a little bit and you'll find it. Go and search it out. But the third thing that he said, once again, I just never stopped and thought about too much. I don't know if you have or not. But he says, knock and the door will be open to you. And, on one hand, that sounds really nice. Just go up to the door and knock, and that door's going to be open to you. But as soon as I started really thinking about that for just a second, you know what came back to mind? Monty Hall, right? What do you want to keep that, or do you want what's behind door number one? Because really, isn't that what he's saying there? He says, go up to a door, and I'm behind that door. And you know that I have something for you, but are you willing to knock on that door when you don't know what it is I have for you behind that door? Well, that's a step of trust, right? If I'm just asking and receiving, that's great. But if you're asking me to go up to a door and God opens that door after I knock on it and I go, oh no, close that door, right? I don't want that. That's not what I thought you were going to give me. I didn't think that's what I need right now. Do I trust God with that door closed to knock on it and for Him to open it and me be okay with what He has for me behind the door? Do I trust God? What do you do when you open that door and you feel disappointed? God, I asked for this, but behind the door wasn't what I wanted. Do you ever feel let down by God? When you don't get what you want, does your sense of peace start floating away? And suddenly anxiety comes in and stress comes in. And what am I going to do now, God? Because I wanted this and you didn't give me this. God, you just get worked up. So today, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about, what it is when you plan to have the greatest kids in the world, but now your kids are making some bad decisions. What do you do when you've planned to have the best marriage, and then all of a sudden you find now that you're single, or your marriage isn't working like you want it to? What do you do now when you had this incredible idea of retiring one day, traveling the world, but now in the life that you are, because of sickness, because of health, because of finances, you can't do that? What do you do when your plan is to be happy, but you always seem to be battling depression? What do you do when it feels like God's let you down? I want to look today at a story that is so tied to this time of year because it's the story of Mary and Joseph. And I want us just to think a little bit about when that angel came and said, you know, with this baby, there's going to be peace on earth. What did that feel like at that moment for Mary and Joseph? If you think about it, it really is kind of a heart-wrenching story. A young couple has to navigate some feelings probably of betrayal, of deceit, of relational devastation. If you kind of think about it, you had this young girl, and she was proposed to. And she was excited about what life was going to be like after that proposal. You've got this young man who's a carpenter, and he's found this really beautiful young lady. And he's just dreaming about what this marriage is going to look like. But within just a little while, they're going to be criticized. They're going to be shamed. They're going to be humiliated. There's going to be a traumatic birth. There's going to be just this nightmare situation where they hear that Herod is trying to kill their new baby, all because they were trying to do what's right. So let's think about it just for a second from their point of view. Do you ever wonder what kind of plans they did have? I wonder if Joseph had plans of opening his own shop. I wonder if maybe they thought, well, we'll live with our parents for a little while. And we'll save up some money. And one day we'll go out to some nice neighborhood in Nazareth and we'll build a little house. You know, we'll do that. You know, after we've paid off all our bills, and then we'll get Joseph's building company really big. He'll have lots of employees. And when everything's just right, when we know we can take care of them, we'll start having our babies. I don't know if that was their dreams. That sounds like the dreams of most people. But suddenly, God interrupted their plan. Just like He interrupts our plan. Suddenly, what Mary probably had been praying for, this perfect marriage, this perfect life, when she knocked on that door, behind the door was something else. The angel appeared to Mary, and he said, you're going to have a baby, and this baby's going to be Jesus the Savior. And of course, Mary's question to the angel was, how? And the angel said, you know, through the Holy Spirit, and we'll give it to Mary. I mean, she looks and says, if that's God's will, may it be done. And she runs off on this spiritual high to Joseph to say, Joseph, you're going to be so excited. An angel came to me, and I am pregnant. Yeah, what was that like? That probably wasn't ever a thing she thought she would run and tell her husband. Yeah, that wasn't anything, this person that she was engaged to. Can you imagine if someone in your life came up and said, hey, I'm pregnant, and it's by the Holy Spirit? You know, first thing you think of, well, you're a liar, and the second thing is you're crazy on top of that. But this is what Mary had to do in Matthew 1. Chapter 1, verses 18 through 19, it says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Oh man, Joseph's plan suddenly changed, didn't they? I've got this beautiful girl I'm engaged to. And then suddenly, now I'm going to have to quietly divorce her. Some of you might be going, I thought they were just engaged. Why would that be a divorce? In the Jewish community, there were actually two parts of marriage. One was called the kiddushin, which is the engagement time. And the other was called the chuppah, which is the marriage ceremony. But for them, that was marriage. It was both the engagement time and the ceremony that made up marriage. So even though it says, you know, she was just in the engagement time, the law actually was that if you were engaged, if you were during the kitchen, then if you were engaged and the man dies, the woman would be considered a widow. And so it was this beautiful whole process, but within that you would divorce, even if it was just an engagement. Can you imagine? You know, they were still picking the colors for their wedding when suddenly Mary found out she was pregnant. Joseph probably never realized that it was going to be that way. He was probably crushed, humiliated until, you know, God got a hold of him. If the invitations were out, do you call off the engagement? You know, what would everybody in the community be talking about? He trusted Mary. He loved Mary. He planned to spend the rest of his life with her. But now what? Interesting how our plans change just like that. How do we deal when our plans change? Imagine Mary. She's 14, 15 years old. She didn't do anything wrong. And now she's looking at this, you know, this man she loves, and he's considering divorcing her. You know, God might have said all kinds of things, but she was struggling, I'm sure. So what do you do when you're disappointed in the position that God's got you in? What do you do in your position? You know, a little bit earlier I said, has this been a hard year for anybody? Have you stopped and said, God, you know, even in this hard year, I'm not disappointed in where you've put me right now? Or are you struggling, probably like Mary and Joseph were? I want to give you two truths today to help you when you don't understand what God's doing. Here's your first truth. You don't have to understand the plan to trust God has a purpose. Let me say it one more time. You don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. Now, sometimes we tie those two things together, right? God, I am more than happy to say I trust your purpose as long as you give me the plan. As long as I've got it written out, step number one, step number two, step number three, step number four, and we don't vary off that course, right? As long as that course holds true, I'm good with your purpose. But the first time one of those steps that I take, it takes me in a different direction than I thought it was going to go, then suddenly I start questioning God's purpose because I don't understand the plan. And what I want you to gather today is that I can't come in and tell you, hey, here's what God's purpose is in that. But I can tell you that you don't have to understand the plan to trust the purpose. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Many are the plans in a person's heart. We've got so many plans. But listen, our plans can't supersede God's purpose. And we've got to be willing to say, God, I'm going to lay those plans down. I'm going to say, God, I didn't want it this way. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. When I opened the door, I wish I hadn't picked door number one. I wish I would have picked door number two. You know, whatever it is, we've got to say, but I'm going to lay them down because I trust your purpose. And if you have me going through this, there's a reason for it. Matthew 1:20-21, it says, but after Joseph had considered this, considered the divorce, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Can you imagine Joseph having that moment where he went, what? You mean in the middle of this crazy mess you just put me in, God? You know, 15 minutes ago, my engaged, beautiful wife-to-be came in here and told me she was pregnant. You mean in the middle of this, you had a purpose? You've got a purpose to send Jesus into this world? You've got a purpose that's going to save the world. You've got a purpose that you picked me to be the father to raise Jesus? You mean in the middle of the craziness, that if I can step back and look and say, what is your purpose? If I can get my arms around that even for a second, then I'm going to see that it's okay my plans didn't work out. It's okay, because I trust your purpose. So that's your number one thing to do. Your number two thing, just 2 points to this sermon. Number one is to say, God, if I don't understand the plan, I'm going to trust your purpose. Number two, your disappointment with God might actually be a divine appointment from God. Let me kind of explain that. When you're disappointed with God, it could be God is positioning you for an appointment that he's getting ready for. Your disappointment with God might actually be a divine appointment from God. It's when you start saying, God, I trust your purpose and I'm willing to lay down my plan, then suddenly you say, I'm going to go ahead and walk through that door I just opened. And you're going to find on the other side of that door, there's way more than you could have ever hoped or dreamed for. But so many times we say, here's my plan, God. Knock, knock, knock. Door opens. It's a little bit different. And you go, I'm not walking through that door. God, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to find every reason in the world not to go through that door. And suddenly you miss out on the place that God wants you to be. I think back when I was a senior in college. Had a double major. Half of it was Old Testament studies, because I had this great Old Testament professor, and I just kept on taking his classes. But my other major was communication, especially broadcast communication. My senior year, I got this great internship at this ABC affiliate news station in our town of Jackson, Tennessee. Now, it wasn't a big television station, but it was an ABC affiliate. And I got to go into their news department, and they called me the nighttime photog. Isn't that a pretty good name? That meant they gave me a camera, and if there were any wrecks, or actually one night a chicken truck flipped over, and I had to go out and film all these dead chickens out on the road. Yeah, that's how important my job was. I did find out that it was nice to carry that camera, because one day they said the Miss Tennessee pageant was going on, and I kind of had the camera checked out, and I said, I wonder if I showed up with that camera, if they would let me in free to the Miss Tennessee. Sure enough, they did. Okay, I'm not going to go any farther than that. But what I am going to say is at the end of my senior year, that television station came to me and said, we see something in you, Blake. We think that you have the ability to go farther here at WBBJ in Jackson, Tennessee, and we want to offer you a job for next year. And I remember all of a sudden, guys, I just said, oh, this is going to be good. I said, I can get into this little television station, and maybe I'll move on up to a larger place, and maybe I'm that guy on the radio, who knows? I'm just thinking, wow, this is an incredible opportunity. And I just started having all these plans going in my mind of what God might do with me through that. I went home and told my dad, and I remember Dad coming back and saying he prayed about it, and he said, Blake, I don't think you need to do that job. I said, well, Dad, I said, just let me do it for a year. Let me do it for a year. I said, just be okay with that, because what Dad said was, Blake, you've been steering your life towards ministry for many years now. Why would you take this job? You need to go on to seminary. I said, let me just do this for a year. And I said, at the end of that, I'll go to seminary. And he said, Blake, I think if you do it for a year, you'll like it. And he said, I think you'll just keep on doing that. And I just sat there at that moment going, my plan right now is to go down this exciting journey of this television station. But God was saying, no, that's not the plan I have for you. So luckily, my dad looked at me and said, Blake, if you'll go to Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, he said, I'll pay for that first semester, that first year, maybe. I don't even remember anymore. He said, just do it. He said, don't want you to miss this opportunity. I look back on that now. And I look back on that pivotal moment where if I had chose my plans, where would I be right now? But because God spoke through my dad and pushed me back into his plans, I got to meet some people I would have never met if I hadn't gone to seminary that semester. That then introduced me to some other people that put me in position after position after position. What I can say is if God hadn't stepped in with my dad and if I hadn't listened at that point, what I know is I wouldn't be standing here right now preaching to you guys. This is our 10th Christmas at Waller Baptist Church. And I'm just going, I wouldn't have had Christmas one at Waller Baptist Church. I think of the people I've met. I think about, you know, I wouldn't have met my wife. I wouldn't have had four beautiful daughters that are doing incredible things right now. It all hinged on that one moment when I said maybe that my disappointment of not being able to do that WBBJ job, maybe God has some divine appointments that he's already got set up for me if I'll just walk through that door. Let me challenge you guys this morning that your disappointment that you're having with God, if you can put it in the right context and say, I trust God even when I don't get my way, then you are setting yourself up for God to lead you to some places you'll never get if you don't. I come back to the story and think about Caesar Augustus issuing those crazy decrees, that hometown census that he decided to make. I get that picture of Joseph, you know, okay with what God has said and taking care of his wife and then putting her on a donkey to do a 90-mile trip. You know, I think about when Rebecca was pregnant with our girls, when you take long trips, that's not fun in an air-conditioned car. Can't imagine a 90-mile donkey ride. You think about what Joseph had to do, where he had to take 2 weeks off of work to make this journey, no pay. You think about the pressure as they were going through the Judean desert, and we think about the heat of the desert in the morning, but it was also freezing cold at night as they made their way. They went through robbers and pirates and this area was known for the lions and the bears and the wild boars that they had to cross to get to Bethlehem. All this on a donkey. And then when they got there, there's no hotel room. It would be nice, I guess, if they had hotels.com back then. You know? But they just said, I trust God. And listen, when you walk through that door, it may not immediately get better. I just want to let you know that it didn't for them. It got worse and worse and worse. You know, they finally, because they couldn't find a hotel, they had to go to a barn. And you know, it wasn't one of those pretty barns they build on HGTV, right? This nasty working barn. Dirty shepherds show up. Can you imagine that? You know, not clean nurses coming in to take your baby, but dirty shepherds saying, can I hold the baby? They trusted God. And what they saw was Jesus do incredible things. I come back to what Mary did. And as we think about, because of her choices, about her praising and worshiping God, of her moving forward with something that she hadn't had planned, what Jesus did on this earth. I can't imagine Mary at the foot of the cross 3 decades later. But I don't think she was ever saying, God, I didn't have this planned. She was just saying, God, I trust you in the hardest of situations because I know that you love me and you have the best in mind for me. And that's what we saw in Mary's song, right? That she just said it over and over again. I am blessed, I am blessed, I am blessed. Do you have that feeling about your situation right now? That you are blessed. Because a God in heaven loves you. And even though your circumstances may be hard, you are blessed because of God in heaven has you in His hands. No one could have planned or thought through what this last year would have been like. But I tell you what, I knew in January of last year that God loves me. And I know today that God loves me. I knew in January last year that God has a plan for me and a plan for this church. And I know today that God has a plan for me and a plan for this church. And it may not be the one I want. And it may not be everything that I go, oh, this would be best. But what I do know that if we trust and love this loving Father, that if we walk through those doors of what He has for us, He's going to lead us somewhere. So today, just like Mary, Mary will give birth to a son, the angel says, and you are to give him the name Jesus because He will save His people from their sin. In whatever situation you're in, I want you to hear that exact same thing. You're going to go through a tough time, but there's a purpose and there's a reason in it. And because we serve a loving God, you can hang on to that just like Mary did. Remember, you don't have to understand God's plan to trust God has a purpose. And your disappointments with God might actually lead you to the very place that you need to be. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just want to thank You this morning that You do. You love us. God, that we can trust You. God, just like Mary and Joseph trusted You. God, as we wake up on Christmas morning and just kind of think about where they were, God, help us think about where we are. God, You're so, so good. And Your right hand is so, so powerful. God, just let us relax and have some peace in our life, knowing that You are in control and that we're not. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be down front. If you need me to pray for you this week, something hard going on, I'd love to pray for you. If there's something you need to share or something you need to talk to me about, I'd love to do that. Maybe right now there's something where you're going, I've been mad at God. You just need somebody to help you walk through praying about that. I'll be down front whenever God moves in your